The very first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus declared, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." The early disciples' lives were forever changed because of a personal encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. The early disciples did not believe in the resurrection because the tomb was empty. So that is amazing in and of itself and must be accounted for. The early disciples believed in the resurrection because they saw Jesus with their very eyes. They touched him. They heard his voice. They had fellowship with him. The early disciples went from being fearful, confused, scattered, hiding, to being revolutionaries by God's grace through his Spirit to change the world, to change the course of history as the gospel spread from Jerusalem to every country in the world today. And it continues to spread. Jesus is risen. Jesus is a risen and reigning Lord. He's here with us this morning. So Jesus on the cross accomplished our salvation. He removed the guilt of our sin by his substitutionary death. He died in our place. It is finished. There's nothing else to do except come to him, trust him, surrender to him, submit to him. He's opened the door to heaven to everyone who comes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Throughout history, lives have been changed by this same testimony. I've seen the Lord. This personal experience with Jesus. Have you seen the Lord? For many of us, we can say, yes, we've seen him. Not physically with our eyes, but by faith in our hearts. We've encountered him, where we all of a sudden realize it's not just religion. It's not just an idea. It's not just a God who lives in heaven. But he's the God who comes to us and interacts with us. And we know he's there. We feel his presence. There's someone else in the room. Have you seen the Lord? For many of us, we have. And for today, I want us who believe in the Lord Jesus to remember how the risen Jesus changes everything in our lives. If you haven't yet seen the Lord, I invite you to come and see him today. He is here. And as I said, he's already opened the door wide, the door to eternal life. The door to a relationship with him. So I invite you to come to him today. So the title of the sermon is, Have You Seen the Lord? We'll go through three parts. First, Jesus is risen, which means as believers, we have a new identity. We have a new identity. Second point, Jesus is risen, which means we have a new future. We have a new future. And third, Jesus is risen means we have a new life. Right now, new life, new identity, new future, new life. May God help me to do justice to these beautiful truths. And children, here's what we're going to talk about. The risen Jesus lives in us. He lives in everyone's heart who believes in him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus lives in us and he is alive. Okay, well, let's move on. So first, Jesus is risen. It means we have a new identity. If you trust in Christ, you have a new identity. And part of our identity is our name, is it not? Each of us have a given name. And it is special that we have our unique name with its unique meanings. And it is very special when people speak your name to you. I remember one memorable time that someone spoke my name. I was about 6 years old. And I was at my grandparents' house. I was sleeping over their house in Birmingham, Alabama, where I was raised. And in the middle of the night, there was a loud banging at the door. I was upstairs in the bed. And I don't know why children think their covers can protect them, but I was hoping my covers were protecting me from whatever or whoever was banging at the door at this house that was not my own. And I will say that this house, my grandparents' house, was an amazing house during the day. But at night, it took on a little scarier feel. My grandfather was a hunter. He had hunted his whole life, and so he had his trophy, you know, animals mounted on the wall. There were leopards. There was the great lion on the upstairs banister right outside my door where I was sleeping. There were swords. There were blow darts. There were tribal masks on the wall. It was creepy at night. And there's a banging at the door. But then all of a sudden, I heard, "Robert, Robert." It was my grandfather at the door. He had locked himself out. And I recognized his voice. I love my grandfather. I can still hear his voice from that night, more than 30 years ago. And so I got up and I went down and I let him in. There's something special when someone special calls your name. It's very personal. We see that here in John chapter 20 with Mary. Go look with me if you have your Bible at verse 11 and we'll walk through it. So Mary Magdalene, she's weeping outside the tomb. The tomb was empty. She doesn't know Jesus is alive yet. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to him, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So, Mary is there. She is confused. She's weeping. She doesn't know what is going on. And look at verse 14. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Perhaps it was because of the tears in her eyes. Perhaps in other resurrection accounts, it says that God hid the identity of Jesus from the disciples' eyes for a short time. You remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they talked with Jesus. But it was hidden from them who he was. We don't know. Mary didn't recognize him. But then something happened that changed Mary's whole life, her eternity. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away." She's looking for the dead body of Jesus. And then in verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So perhaps it was the tone of Jesus' voice. Whatever it was, Mary had a personal encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. And she was forever changed. She was forever changed. Again, I'll ask the question, have you had a personal encounter with the risen Lord Jesus? Has he called your name? You may remember from John chapter 10, which we went through a while ago now in the Gospel of John. We saw in John 10 that Jesus is the good shepherd. If you know anything about shepherds, they are very close with their sheep. They know each sheep, even in a sheepfold of 1,000 sheep. They've given them names. They know each sheep by name. So Jesus knows your name. He knows the hairs, how many hairs are on your head. He knows the desires of your heart. He put them there. Jesus has a deep desire. He told us in John 17, his prayer before he went to the cross, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, will be with me where I am to see my glory, which you gave me before the world existed." Jesus desires to be with us. He desires this personal encounter with us, not just once, but all the time. And he's done everything to give us opportunity to come to him through his death and resurrection. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking your name? If he has spoken your name, if you've had personal encounters with this risen Lord Jesus, it changes everything. Jesus, in these verses, is declaring to Mary and to all of us who trust in him our identity, our truest identity. There are many things in the world today that the world or even our sinful hearts are going to want to find our identity in. The world may tell us that your identity is in your sexuality. That's who you are. Or your identity is your gender. That's the most foundational thing about you. The world and our sinful hearts may want our identity to be in our job or in achieving success or in people's opinions of us or in our academics or in our sports. None of these things can be our deepest identities. But Jesus tells us who we are. Identity is given, it's bestowed by the God who created us. Let's see what Jesus says about our identity. First, our identity is that we are known and loved by the Son of God. He speaks to Mary personally. He says her name, Mary. As the Good Shepherd, he knows all of us, his sheep. So your first identity is that you are known and loved by the Son of God. Next, he came to show us that he's letting us come into his family. Look at verse 17, Jesus' response to Mary. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Jesus is letting Mary know, I am ascending, I am about to ascend up into heaven. And this is a place for you now. I'm going back to my Father, and through faith in me, he is now your Father. I'm going back to my God, he is now your God. He's made a way for us to have this new family identity that should go down, that does touch to our deepest core of who we are. We are reconnected by faith in Christ with our God who made us. And he turns out that he's not just a creator God, but he's a Father. He is eternally the Father of Jesus Christ, and he's willing to be the Father of everyone who comes to his Son Jesus. So Jesus declares to us our identity. We have a God, we have a Father, we have Jesus who knows us and loves us. So if Jesus is risen, brothers and sisters, glory in this identity that you have in him. Do not give in to the temptation to put your identity in any lesser thing. Maybe true things about you, maybe good things about you, the job and academics and all of these things. But our ultimate identity, our deepest identity, is that we are forgiven of our sins by Christ. We are loved by our Father. We are welcomed into the embrace of the eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just wonder how much of our sins, how many of our fears are because we forget who we are. We forget our identity. So we go off looking for love and satisfaction other places. We are can be consumed with fear because we forget who we are, that we have God as our Father. So we can live in the fears of being rejected or failure of what may happen to us. I wonder how much of our lack of evangelism is because we forget who we are, that we have a Father who loves us. We have a Spirit who wants to live in us and empower us. We have Jesus as the Savior of the world. Why would we not tell people about him if he is our Lord, if that's our deepest identity? I wonder how much of our lack of love to each other because we forget who we are. We forget we're in a family. So, brothers and sisters, remember your identity. Jesus is alive to declare to you, you are mine. That's your identity now. So Jesus is risen. It gives us a new identity. We should glory in it every single day. I'll just say it's so much better. The identity he has declared to us is so much better than anything we could create on our own. It's going to last. Nothing can take it away. Any of those other things, you could lose it. You could lose your job. You could lose relationships that are important to you. You cannot lose your relationship with God. You cannot lose your home in heaven. So let's glory in the identity he has given us. Second, Jesus is risen. He's given us a new future. He's given us a new future. And what we're going to see here is he turns our sorrows into joy. Jesus comes to Mary, not just when she's doing well. She comes to Mary when she's at her worst moment, the worst moment of her life. She's here. She's weeping. She can't see straight. She can't think straight. Her whole life has crumbled. And that's when Jesus comes to her. So this Easter, it's okay if you're not just feeling the happiness and feeling the joy. Maybe you're in the valley of the shadow. Jesus wants to come to you right then as well. I read a good article this week by a Christian author named Vanitha Risner. I've spoken about Vanitha in the past. She is a woman who has suffered much, but the Lord has been so faithful to her. And so now she likes to help other people through their grief and through their losses. In this article, she talked about how Good Friday and then the next day, Holy Saturday, they're almost like parables for this life. Sometimes our life is Good Friday. There's crisis. You're in shock of what's happened. You're kind of in survival mode. We know what that is like, right? When we've lost a loved one, lost a job, and things fall apart unexpectedly. But then after that, there is like Holy Saturday, the day that the disciples experienced when it was a Sabbath, they were resting and they were just sitting in the squalor of painful confusion. Holy Saturday. All the questions they had, the numbness, the fear. All of us have been there sometime, and some of us may be there right now. So I think it's helpful for us to remember that in the deepest sense, being in these times of trials, these Good Fridays and Holy Saturdays, it's actually what we deserve. We actually deserve worse than anything we ever go through on this life. Do we remember that, brothers and sisters? Our best deeds crucified the Son of God. It had to happen because our sins were offensive before God. So what we really deserve is judgment and punishment from God. So I think if we can admit our guilt, we can be amazed more and more at the love that Christ has shown us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, these are some of the words that describe us: weak, ungodly, sinners, enemies of God. And in Ephesians chapter 2, there's another word: dead. Dead in our trespasses. But in those verses, God reveals to us that it was in those that weakest point, the worst deeds we had done, that Christ gave himself for us. God shows his love for us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. His death and his resurrection have made us alive. His perfect record, his righteousness, counts for everyone who trusts in him. We have been justified by faith. We've been loved by this God. So I believe when we accept our real guilt that we have, to honestly confess how wicked we are, that's when we find real peace and real forgiveness. Instead of hiding it, acting like we're not that bad, we were enemies of God, and through Christ's blood, we've been made friends. We've been made children. So Jesus comes and he meets Mary right there in her sorrow, in her sadness. So if Jesus is risen, we can wait. We can wait through the sorrows of Good Friday and Holy Saturday. We can wait with hope because we have the promise that Easter is coming, a future Easter, when Christ is going to come back, return to us, and gather us up into his arms. And we will have a glorious and eternal future. So in this world, the scriptures say that we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Deep down, we can have joy even as we go through sorrowful times, because we know of this future hope we have. We have a new future. Our future, we don't have to be afraid of our future anymore. It's no longer we have a guilty conscience and we know we're going to be summoned to account one day by perfect justice. Now we know that we've been forgiven. Our sins have been dealt with. We have a glorious future, a hopeful future to look forward to. So we are always doing better than we deserve, brothers and sisters. So Romans 8 tells us, Paul says that, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory to be revealed to us. And when I think about Mary, she's right there. She's at this sorrowful moment. And in just a moment, Jesus is going to change her sorrow to joy. If you think about your lives, you don't know when that moment will come as you go through sorrow, but the moment will come that Jesus will change your sorrow to joy. He may give you deliverance from the sorrow you're in now, but one day we will see him face to face, and that'll be our final deliverance from all of our sorrows into joy. So it's almost like this. I was talking with Joshua recently. We were studying Romans 8, and we were talking about this. It's as if we all have this horrible mouth disease, okay? It's so painful that you can't eat solid food, and there's a lot of pain. And this mouth disease is going to require surgery. The surgery is very painful. I won't try to make you imagine, but mouth surgery, doesn't that sound like, ouch, painful? So there's going to be this painful surgery, and it's a slow healing process. You won't be able to eat solid food for months. But then you know that as soon as you're healed, you will be on the road to healing. You're going to enjoy all your favorite foods, a great juicy steak, all the size that you desire. So that's where we are, brothers and sisters. We're in this healing process. We're still in pain. But the surgery has happened, the heart surgery that God gives when we come to Christ, and our full salvation is coming. So that can give us hope, just like you would have hope that, okay, as soon as I get over this healing, I'm going to have a feast. There's hope that we have for our glorious future. So Jesus is risen, we have a new future. And finally, Jesus is risen, we have a new life. We have the life of Christ living inside of us, this abundant life, eternal life, has started now. So we have power by the Holy Spirit inside of us to live for Christ, to serve him and love him back, to serve others and love this world. We see this through the testimony of this woman, this amazing woman, Mary Magdalene. You know, there actually are a lot of speculation about details of Mary Magdalene's life. There's been books written about her, and there's really a very common misconception that she was a prostitute. And there's no explicit scripture that teaches that that was her past, that she was a prostitute. The only thing we definitively know was found in the gospel account. She is always recorded as the first one who saw Jesus. Pretty amazing. But the other thing we know, two things from Luke chapter 8. The first thing, that she had 7 demons inside of her, and Jesus cast the demons out. So we don't know what her life was like. It doesn't matter, the detail. But she had 7 demons. Just to have one evil spirit living inside of you, tormenting you, dictating certain things about your life. And you can imagine, she was not a model religious person during that day. This is the one that Jesus rescued. This is the one that Jesus chose to be the first person to see him when he rose from the dead. Jesus transformed her and gave her a new life. 2,000 years after this happened, we're talking about her today because of what Jesus did in her life, how Jesus transformed her and gave her new life. The second thing we know about Mary is that after Jesus delivered her from the 7 demons, she was a part of a group of women who were providing for Jesus and for his disciples out of their own means. So she was transformed from a demon-possessed woman to a worthy woman, a godly woman. I'm sure she studied Proverbs 31, and God was transforming her to become more and more like that. And she helped provide for Jesus, for his needs. And she was the first witness to Christ. Jesus made her a worthy woman. He put his life inside her, and she blossomed and flourished. That's what Jesus does for us, brothers and sisters. He changes us into something so much better than we could ever do in our own efforts. We have the old self still inside of us. We are still weak, at times ungodly sinners, and forget that we're reconciled to God. But something has happened if you trust in Christ. That old self is dead and buried and gone forever. Hallelujah. Because if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So if Jesus is in you, the hope of glory, you are new. If you trust in Christ, you are new today. So that means you can live by the Spirit that's inside you, the Spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. So you have power to be able to trust God and not be controlled by anxious thoughts. You have power to love others and not just be controlled by fear of them or selfishness. You have self-control to be able to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. So if Jesus is risen, serve him with this new life that he's given you. Give him your gifts, your personality, your interests, all of it. So Jesus has made all of us so different. I love looking out into this room and seeing so many people who are very different, different personalities, different gifts, different interests. So we should use each of them for the glory of God. We each have ways that we can uniquely serve the Lord and glorify him. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do that. You are really new in Christ, but you're also really you in Christ. We don't need to all be the same. If you love the environment, or if you love sports, or if you love finances, or you love coffee, whatever you love, do all things to the glory of God, whatever it is. He lives in you, so you can live for him by trusting in him. So Jesus is risen. We have a new identity, we have a new future, and we have new life. So I ask the question again, have you seen the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus? You come face to face where you realize there is someone else there with you. If Jesus is risen, you should bow to him as your personal Lord. I want to be very clear, Jesus is Lord. It doesn't take your acknowledgement of him to make him Lord. You should bow to him now, willingly. So if you are here today and you don't know Christ, you have not yet experienced him, it's why he brought you here today. He wants you to know him. He knows you, your name, everything about you. He wants to turn your sorrows into joy. He wants to make your whole life new. Does a fresh start sound good to anybody? It was so beautiful to me to have a fresh start when Christ made me new. And I do not claim this on my own authority, but on the authority of the Bible, I am speaking for Jesus Christ. The scriptures say that we, believers, are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. So I just appeal to you from the heart of God. If you don't know Christ, come be reconciled to him today. Let today be the day of salvation. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. The risen Jesus is mighty to save. So Grace Fellowship, Jesus is risen. We have seen the Lord. So I think there's nothing else for me to say, for all of us to say, except, thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you back. Amen.